This is life report. And we'll take roll call, starting over here with the mayor.
Kim's here.
Greg Jones, councilman here.
Bonnie Bruce here.
Dennis Scott here.
Ron Alonso here.
Frank Schultz here.
Karen Ward.
Kathy Egan here.
Kitty Shields here. Stu Martinez has not arrived yet. We have not heard from him, but we will just go ahead and start without. Connie, would you like to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right, discussion and decision on community funding. Is that at number four? That's what, yeah.
Yeah, if that's okay.
Let's go ahead.
Come back to the community funding once we can work on the other things.
Because we do, that will be after number six, budget and state revenue sharing hearing. So if you move that down. And we'll move on to the budget, to continuing the review of the budget material and taking appropriate actions to conclude, unless you want to do the budget.
Do you want to do the hearing?
The hearing first.
Sure.
Because let's get that out of the way. We'll just mess the agenda up all over the place here. sure. Okay. It is 5:36. And we will call the budget state revenue sharing hearing to order. Or open the public hearing, rather. And Rick?
Kitty and I were talking earlier. This is kind of one of the little, I call it kind of not a quirk in the law. It's been around a long time. The state of Oregon shares a little pot of money, if you want to call it, with all the cities. It never changed. It doesn't really change much, and it's got some formula that they send around. And we're budgeting. You'll get to it when you see it in the general fund. But this year, that's anticipated to bring in $24,000. Now, that's not liquor money. It's not. It's actually general fund. I think probably income tax. You know, I mean, they got billions of dollars, and they comes in from a lot of sources, but. Our share of that is calculated out. One of the things the state requires is that you always hold a hearing, that somebody could come in and tell you how they want that spent. In our case, it just goes into our general fund. We don't allocate that money specifically to anything. It's just in the general fund. There's no requirement that you can do what you want with it. But they do require you hold this hearing to where somebody could come in. My guess is that maybe if it's a bigger city and it's millions of dollars, that people come in and say, I want it for something. So it's been on the books probably for decades. And so that's what we're doing here. So it's an opportunity to hear from the public. And then if you don't want, if there's nothing to hear, we close the hearing and walk from there. I've never seen anyone at one of these.
No. They're usually very brief, and this is in regard to resolution number 2015-04, state shared revenue. Do we have copies of that, or does anyone care?
Well, we're going to have it in the budget.
It's in the budget.
It's 30. We're in our budget. $25,000 is what we're proposing. That's what we estimate from the state we're going to get. And it's just in our general revenue. It's not allocated to any one specific place.
Do we just accept?
Yeah, it's money that just comes to you anyway. It's, you know, who's going to say no to it? So we can, does anyone have any discussion?
Probably comes from all the gambling machines.
Further questions or anything? Okay.
Is there a motion that needs to be made?
Well, in just a minute here, do we have any comment from the public?
I think the budget
allocation of the general fund.
He has his right there.
No, I forgot to bring it.
All right.
Ashley, get the mayor a copy of the budget, please.
Sure. You can have this one.
Okay. We had one comment from the public. Thinks it's appropriate the way this has been budgeted. Any other comments? Discussion? Then we will, I'll ask for a motion to accept the budget committee recommendation. Is that how we do this? This just looks weird.
Actually, I think this ends up going to the council. Also.
Accept budget committee recommendation. Basically what it is
You're approving the recommendation of the budget officer, the budget committee.
Okay.
Because I have a clue. This goes to the council.
Okay. Do we have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none. Resolution has been accepted, and we will close the public hearing at 5:41. And we now will move back up to number 5. Review of budget material and take appropriate actions to conclude the review process.
Okay. Well, if you want to go to the general fund page, which is page 1 of 24 inside, you got that? Is that kind of where you all are?
Yes.
Then if you have any questions or comments after our last meeting, we're going to come through the list of stuff.
My stuff was at home, and I just got off work. I could not stop to stare, so I do need a copy of the budget.
Tell Ashley. We will have extras. Now, that happens all the time.
Yeah, I didn't have enough time to swing by the house, and I just came straight here from work. Because I was bummed, because I had a lot of notes on there.
Do I want to start? We'll wait till they get their discount.
Yeah. I can share over here.
Yeah. So, obviously, there's a lot of lines, and so I think what I'll kind of just work down through them kind of very quickly if there's something that has a big change or if it's a particular interest. And you're going to be, the proposed budget's in the right column. The projection is what we think we will spend by the end of June 30th. Okay. Most of the, some of them have some changes and some are not. Some go up, some go down. The $454,000 is what we're expected to carry over. That's money that carries over, and you can see every year, you can look at the historical, it's 300, 400, 489, 562, and this year 454. That always goes up and down based on all kinds of parameters. Property taxes, we are expecting to take in $246,000 this year. Last year we budgeted $235,000, so that was an increase of $11,000. And that's because the values are going up on properties. Prior property taxes, that's people that pay, behind. You have an idea how many people are going to do that. OLCC renewal fee. We charge when they come in to get their licenses every year, we have I think it's 25.
Or 50. Mm. I'm not positive, it might be 25. Patty would know.
They pay it, to Patty.
Okay, Rick, can I stop for just a minute? Ashley, would you take note that Stu Martinez has arrived?
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Okay, business license revenues, $9,000. That went up. We guessed at 5. We think we'll be at I'm 85 at the end of the year, and you know, pretty much everyone renews, and we gain them. So I think that's good. liquor revenue, the state sends us an idea on that. We get a percentage of cigarette, liquor, and state revenue. So you don't see any major changes there. Annual land use grant, state of Oregon gives every county $1,000 a year. That's what we get. Bend Communications, a franchise fee, you'll notice that we're doing well. I've budgeted that, $25. I don't know what's up with that, but we never did figure much, and if you notice, it's dropped. But we were at 22 as of February, so you know, I could be off a dollar or two on that one. I'll make up the difference. Franchise fees, Cascade Gas, it's the one that historically just drives you crazy. 18,000. You know what I think's happened this year, and in the gas power company a little bit. What this year was not very cold, and people's heaters didn't run as much. And so you get a percentage of those bills. You know, Crestview Cable is pretty good. Wilderness Garbage, you kind of look there. They've done fine. There's kind of you know, a little more stable than some of the others. Stu and them keep that going. Quest does pretty well. So those are franchise fees that come in on all the utilities. You see it on your bills, those irritating little numbers that you notice on those. These percentages, most of them I think have it on the bill. I don't know if the phone company, I think they all do. They say.
Wilderness Garbage doesn't have.
It doesn't. It's not actually on the bill.
Okay. Not required to.
Yeah. No, it's not required. Just most want you most want it that way.
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
Yeah, more people have them.
What's that?
Everybody's using it.
Well, they use gas too. Oh, it's all about propane.
Yeah, the different companies that.
What was your question?
The mid-state bill is. You know,
oh well, there's way more power consumed there than is natural gas.
Oh, okay.
And lots of houses are just all electric.
Mm-hmm.
So. And not whole, the whole city doesn't have gas, so it's all those issues. The power one will always be higher. Interest income, that's interest on all of the money we have in the bank through all of our various funds. And the reason that moved up so much, you'll notice over the history, is we've combined. We have basically a couple bank accounts now, so we've got several million in one bank account. It used to, we had 10 bank accounts, and they were spread everywhere. And some were lost, and some were found, and they were all found. But this is much easier for reconciling and everything else, so all of the interest income for the year comes into that. Well, obviously, the one account. We went out for proposals, and we negotiated with the banks on where our money is at. And that's what cities do. And we interviewed
them.
Mostly at Washington Federal. We keep
in-house in the city.
Yes. We keep $500,000 at U.S. So some cities go out, it's called a pool, the state of Oregon has, but then the money's not kept here, and then these banks sometimes close their branches because they don't have enough deposits. And so in the city's case, we're a decent amount of the deposits. I mean, we're by far the biggest customer, probably.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that helps keep those branches here. The tower, there's a cell tower over at the sewer, you see it on the sewer property, and that's a contract that we get paid annually, and that was, the district had that. Transfer in, $30,000, that's that 10% that we'll talk to when we get to the tourism fund, but it's estimated $100,000 will come in transit room tax. 30% is allowed to be transferred to the general fund to just cover overhead, law enforcement, if you had it, other things. The other 70% is tied to tourism. The water fund and the sewer fund at $15,000, that is their, if you know, like this building, if we send Greg to the League of Oregon Cities, he spends time looking into sewer and water, and so it's you have to have it shared. How do you divide? It's kind of like trying to divide up. And you'll see this throughout the budget. I'm here part of my day is spent on street issues, part of it's spent on water issues, parts on sewer, parts on all the different various things. And so you try to divide the staff time. If I work at Public Works, 100% of my time is spent in Public Works. But if I work at City Hall, I work on all the various areas. And so cities divide it out based on, in this council room, when we sit here tomorrow night, we have a hearing on sewer and water rates. It costs money to keep this going. You know, it's a way of kind of allocating money where you think. And with some places, and we're not big enough, but they actually get down to the charge square footage cost. And they would say, you know, this rents out just like Edward Jones next door. We pay a rent to ourselves. You know, you can get real complicated. But I think the size of our city, this works good. So $15,000 is transferred from the sewer and $15,000 from the water in to cover kind of this, some of the general overhead here. And we also share other ways. You'll see power bills and other things where we share. So our general fund is proposed to take in $1,039,000 of that $454,000 was carried over. And you will see it's been hovering, you know, this last year was, we budgeted $1,037,000. We think we'll be 1.1 when we end. Excuse me, our resources will be 1.1. We're actually going to be 1.39. So that was $2,000 different than last year. So pretty close. I think it really tells you there's no big income swings. Nothing's going up, nothing's going down.
I have a question for you. Do you have any anticipated revenues from the pot sales?
No. Not been in. And what will happen is if we get any, then we'll the fall, it carries over. That's why you end up with that carryover. So if we take in 10 grand, I have no estimate whether we'll sell a joint or a pound or a ton. I mean, I really don't. I wouldn't even know where to start. But yes, my anticipation is we will take in some, and then next year we'll add that as a line item in revenue, and then it'll be in here, and we'll have some idea. That's going to be fluid for a while because you're going to see them open and close, and then the recreational starts. So that's a good point, and I do need to add one revenue.
Yeah, because what is it, January of 16 is when OLCC is going to start?
Yes, they'd open this next year, so it wouldn't be in this budget.
Well,
this is 15-16. This ends June 30th, 16. It starts July 1 of 2016.
I thought it was January for OLCC to start regulating.
Regulating, but I think they can't open until July 1.
Shops can open.
Medical marijuana starts this year.
Yes.
They open this year, and then the recreational shops open next year.
We don't know if we even have one. But the city doesn't specifically have to have a line item in order to receive money from tax money from any of that.
It's spending. You can exceed your revenue. You just can't exceed your expenses.
Yeah. Okay.
And so it'll just carry over. Like if we get a grant in for 100 grand, that's fine. It's the problem if you go to spend it.
Yeah. Okay.
No, so I can't. I have no idea on recreational marijuana.
So let's say we do start getting some tax income on marijuana sales.
Okay. It just will go in, and that carryover will be bigger.
It just goes into that. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's a general fund thing. It doesn't have to go.
It is a general
specific
fund. Yes. That's a good question. Oh, yeah, I didn't. The payroll, and what we'll do when we come, we got this payroll spreadsheet, and I think we'll come back and look at the payroll all at once. Because, again, these funds are all over the place, so when you look at this, this is a partial of all of this, and it's harder to, I think, when we go to the big one, because you got all the different funds, this is an accumulation then, and it's got each fund on it. And that's kind of how salaries are divided. Health insurance is increasing, but you don't have any idea yet. And the second thing is, if you have a lot of single people, it's cheaper because you know, that should help. But, you know, and as I remember laughing when I was a county commissioner, they used to say, oh, just hire single people. You can't do that. So, depends on if you're coming with a big family or not. So, we'll come back, I think, again, I think it would be easier to look at the whole thing. We have a COLA figured in, things like that. Accounting and audit, the big change there, 6,000, and it was 16. We started dividing the audit in audits, water, sewer, and the general government. And so we divide, how we pay it, we divide it out. And that's why you'll see we're estimated we're only going to spend 6,000 this year. And so that's why I did that again. We budgeted 16, and that's 12 grand goes to that carry forward. advertising, you know, that's where we have to send out notices on things. We never know what we're going to spend, how many ads we have to run in the bin bulletin over the year. You'll see a couple years ago we spent $3,800. Well, this year we've only spent $574. Next year you could spend $4,000 again. Because we have to put lots of legal notices out. If we're going to bid things, if we're going to have, like, we're going to get rid of a surplus at the Public Works, you know, you have to run notices on that. bank fees, auto expense, that's to keep our little vehicle going out here, which we don't spend too much, but if it ever needed tires or something.
And who uses that?
Oh, they do, every day. They go to the post office and stuff like that. Because the banks, we make deposits every day, we go to the post office every day.
Okay, wait, the bank fees we don't have in 12-13 and 13-14.
Yeah, it's again the counting. She could tell what the, it's our counting finance manager, how they allocate things. I mean, obviously we've always paid some bank fees.
Had them that just...
And different finance people, if you'll notice over on the far left side, those numbers, those are all the codes of where they put stuff.
Oh, okay.
And so they've created an account.
Mm-hmm.
And when they get off the bank statements, some of the fees are sticking them in there. And I think the other thing could be that we weren't getting much interest before, so they're putting the expenses where they also get the interest.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, because
as the number gets bigger over the years, then it stands out more, so it deserves a line item.
Yeah.
Kind of like. Yeah.
And. You know, I have breakdowns on all many of these too. In other words, the budget would be 200. I mean, just these things would be thick if you were to have. I mean, I have the detail here of, you know, everything that make up that 1,045. I mean, I could tell you if it came in monthly and everything, and that's all the detail. That would be far too detailed for a budget committee, unless someone wanted to. The city improvement. That is, I think someone asked about it last time. That's the 9,000 plus the 5. We give the 5 out of the general fund that we've been going toward business improvements. We gave that before. When we added the business license, we said it's not to steal from that 5. It was going to 100% go toward business stuff. Mm-hmm. And since we're saying we added 9, we already had 5. Mm-hmm. That's the 14. Mm-hmm. You know. A lot of places would do a little switch of hands that would say 9, and in reality is I only added 4 of what the businesses were paying, if you get that.
Mm-hmm.
And this council, I think properly so, said no, and the chamber agreed to that. That doesn't mean someday it'll just happen in the middle of the night. Cleaning janitorial, that's on the building here. And contracted services. If you go back toward the back somewhere, you're going to find the very last page.
I think so.
You'll be referring to that quite a bit. If you wanted to pull it out, just because you're going to be going back and forth to it, you could.
Okay.
It's pulled out. This next to the back. There's other way you're going to be going back to it a lot. It depends on how often you like to flip pages. It says, contract services, legal accounting breakdowns.
It's the second to last one on the line. Third to the last.
Third one in the back.
So that's 31.4. And what you'll notice, it's in the first column. So you want to know, well, what makes up, these are the people that we contract to different things. And software, $12,000, we have a big software program. And then financial services, $14,400. We contract to folks. Now that if you kind of wonder, this is a good point to mention it, just if you look clear to the right, that'll tell you what we total spend on finances, $36,000, see that? Of the general fund, $14,400, streets pays a little, and then sewer and water pay a share, and that's how you come up to the $36,000. Everyone pays their share based on what we believe is the amount of work that, you know, and there's no magic science to that. There are laws. Say if we wanted to say 100% of our finances went to the sewer, you can't do that, because there's some cities that get pretty creative and they try to load all those expenses into sewers or water. As long as you can justify, you know, where you are and it doesn't get too weird, you're pretty good. And in our case, since 50% of our staff works in sewer and water, and it's two-thirds of our general fund income, you know, as long as you're staying in this general area, you're pretty good. So anyway, there's $14,400, and the professional services is $5,000. That's where we hire someone to help us with something. Just today I was talking, example, to hire someone to help us do something. And that could be an accountant that's outside of our finance department. It could be an engineer. It could be, you name it, a professional. Could be a doctor, but we don't hire doctors.
What are we paying Cascade East Transit?
Where's that?
It's on that contract.
It's under streets.
That's under the street fund. You're down one line. We haven't got to streets.
Oh, right there. Okay.
So that's the $31,400. Did you get that? Mm-hmm. Or unless they, no, yeah, that's under streets. Cascades.
Mm-hmm. Under the contract of services under streets. Yeah.
Yeah, when we get a street fund, then you'll see $35,000 for streets.
Oh, I see.
And then you come back here and you'll look, where does it go? So this is a matrix that works. We just do this. It's not a budget requirement, but it's the only way you can track it when you have money coming out of different funds for these things. Okay. Economic development, that's for our LED, our Lapine economic development person. We work with the county and we share the costs on that. No changes. Election costs, that's for council elections and all those kinds of things. Insurance, and again, insurance gets divided because we get a liability policy. It's for sewer, water, it's for the whole thing, and it gets allocated. IT software, there's three lines there, parts and equipment, software and support, website design and maintenance. You know, we have a contract on our website where we pay them $250 a month.
For the website?
Yeah.
Oh, we must pay once a year.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the number is.
So that's kind of, you know, software is one of those things that you're always upgrading, and if you fall behind on that IT thing, it's, you know, you're in trouble. And it's amazing how much we spend. They come down, our system isn't working, they have to reset stuff. The guy charges $100 an hour, that's what you have to pay. Then they come down. We don't obviously have anyone on staff for that kind of stuff, well above any of our abilities. And, you know, you may have none, but you may have a lot. And, you know, some of our equipment now has been in here for a while, so I have a feeling down the road here we're going to have to start those, just like at home, those multi-gigabytes, this seems like a ton until you start filling it up. Legal fees, $26,000, that's another one. If you want to go back to that last page, you'll kind of see what we spend every year on legal fees, and then where that gets divided, and that's the very bottom line on this. So we have $63,000 budgeted for the year, $26,000 out of general fund, and you'll get each of these as we move through these funds.
Okay.
One thing, as we talked last time, those those have been kind of decreasing because we're more stable, and you know, we were spending over 100 grand a year on legal fees, so that's come way down.
Well, and they decrease in this fund because now they're shared.
Well, they've always been shared a little, but not as they always. Our total goes down.
We only just took over water and sewer
2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Yeah, right. That's right.
So your one in 2012, 2013 looks really high for some of these because it didn't have that sharing.
Yeah. No, that's true. Meetings and travel and training. We had budgeted 16 and we're about at 11. And so I decided I wanted to be careful of that. Also, when we get to the paper, we have Corey, who we're going to hire, who's going to help me as I do, as I wind down and he winds up. But you have to do some training. You don't just become, and then the mayor's busy.
He's
an active mayor. And that's good. Someone today complimented. We have an active mayor. Active mayors cost more than inactive mayors. I mean, isn't that fair? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they go to meetings. When they go to revenue meeting, it's X amount. When they go to the mayor's conference, you know, we've had mayors over the years that went. We've had mayors that didn't. Well, if the mayor's conference is in Portland, it's, you know, $500. That's it. Believe me, you want an active mayor. It pays big dividends. Mm-hmm. So, but there is a cost, and it's why when things go up, the last thing we need, if that was $10,000, you might want a new mayor or council. You know, really, I believe that, because you need people out going to this stuff and everything. And that will ebb and flow based on the elected officials and staff turnover. So that's kind of why that one went up. membership and dues in there. The mosquito spraying. We did budget 24, but I think we're only going to spend 15, but you know, that's an unknown. It depends on our number of mosquitoes. Someone told me they saw one over by Bi-Mart last week. I don't know if he was there. Now, the mayor had me come over and said that there wasn't any in his house, and normally there are.
Yeah, so, we don't have that slough area that's back there on the north side of Burgess at Huntington, down by the Little Deschutes. There's no water in there, and that is the breeding ground for that. So Vicki will tell you if there's a mosquito.
There's mosquitoes.
Yeah, there's mosquitoes.
Yeah. You're closer to the river.
I've seen two.
So that's why we didn't go cut it all the way down. You know, we need to wait and see how they do.
Yeah.
And I think people like that program. And that's one of those ones, it's like snow plowing, you have to budget X amount. Because you don't know how much it's going to snow. And if you start saying, well, last year we only spent $2,000, look out for next year. Mm-hmm. And remember, it just carries forward. So,
does it carry forward in the same fund, or does it just go back in the general fund?
In the fund, general fund.
And gets re...
That's that number at the top, that 400.
Okay.
That's why you're always going to have... That number will ebb and flow, but you'll always have that, and you know, that carryover. And once you... Every year you get that. So, you could... One time you could go spend $100,000 off of that. You know, I mean, that's one of those things that you'd only be able to do it about once, because at some point it bites you. And you need to have carryover to carry you forward. And it gets very complicated, but we don't get taxes until November. All of you pay your taxes in November, right? So we have $275,000 in there in property taxes, right? We don't get that payment, the first payment of that, until November. But Ashley and Patty still want paid in July, August, September, October, and November. And so you have to carry over some in all governments. Now, the Parks District, to give you an example, they didn't have enough money to carry them forward to pay their wages, and so last year they borrowed 40 or 50, I don't know.
They borrowed it and didn't have to pay any interest on it, but they did borrow it to get them through. It was like a 25-day period to pay staff,
yeah,
and then paid it back.
So
this year, if I can keep going, they're pretty sure they're going to have that carryover.
So they
should be able to recover completely from that, or at least really, really close. They worked really hard.
You don't want to get into getting a loan.
No.
Mosquito supplies, postage, repairs and maintenance, that's just, you know, whatever, miscellaneous. Utilities, those are all of our utilities, garbage, electricity, water, sewer, all that kind of stuff. Zoning grant expense, those are going away because we didn't get a zoning grant that has to be in here. This is stuff from back before, just again how they're coding. Everybody codes it different. When 2 or 3 years ago they were coding it differently than we do now. And so these things, but they have to run their course before they go away. So these things always stay till you get out past 2 actual years. So if we add something or get rid of it. So bottom line is our materials and services, $212,000. Last year we budgeted $245,000. We think we'll spend $184,000 this year. And that's where that'll end up. Okay, next page, capital outlay. City hall improvements. This includes, and these are just guesses, a sound system in here. This was on it last year. The council, it was a high priority coming out of our goal setting. And we hear it from a few people that come to the meetings that this PA microphone system just doesn't work. Unfortunately, there is no $5,000 fix. I've already had people come down and look at them. And when you in other words, it's either cheesy or it's darn nice. And it's really hard to find it. The message I've got from everyone here, and you need to speak up, some of you, was you want a sound system that works and people can hear it.
That's right. True.
So I always listen to the messages I get. So the other 15, again, is it going to be, I'm hoping I can save a little on the second thing, and then that can help if we have, and the sound system will last us 20 years, you know, it's not one of those things you're going to buy. And someone would sit here and say, well, you know, that's too much money on it. I think that others would argue, this is for the people. It is where the people's business is conducted. And if I'm hard of hearing, I'm older, I have a right to hear what is being said in this room, and I have a right that the tape recordings come through the system and we don't have a micro recorder on the table. Mm-hmm. Yes, does that cost money? Yes. Could we run with a tape recorder and people in the back sit meetings after meetings and actually don't know what you're saying? Yes. Is that what this community wants? So I can't find a cheaper way to do it. Matter spent $50,000 on their system in their new city hall. Prineville has a nice system.
I think it's a must because, you know, we already know that we have people who are not attending meetings because they can't hear.
That's correct. Vicki,
My wife. I know. And then even those of us who hear better oftentimes can't hear a particular counselor or other staff member or something just because of the way they talk, or, you know, if they turn their head away from the mic and such, or lean way back. I think you can probably all hear each other up there, but sitting back here in the room, people can't always hear, and we should.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to have to get new wiring, and that is going to require some interesting things. And then when you're in a small room, it's that feedback issue if you've been around. Mm-hmm. How do you have it? How can they hear it with volume but not do feedback? Well, it requires nicer stuff. Mm-hmm. The other one is the flagpole. When our Oregon and U.S. flag, the City Hall has one that Stu and them put up in a barrel out here. But what we'd like to do is go out here, we're in front, right into the side maybe, have it lit and get, as the City Hall, have a nice flagpole, the U.S. flag higher, an American flag. Well, those have to be engineered. You know, that's not one of those things that you can just have your three buddies come down on a government building and pour. The footings of a flagpole, actually, there's a standards and there's numbers and how much concrete has to go in the hole, because the wind will blow them over and clonk someone on the head and we'd be sued. So, you know, nothing is easy. Mm-hmm. And those poles are expensive, and the lighting, we got to run electrical out. So,
I'd say this is all wonderful. If we are robbing something from the general public, then we'll, as we go on, you know, the money for the general public would be worth more somewhere else. And, you know, a sound system sounds pretty elaborate. Just throwing my opinion out.
And then that's a fair statement. I mean.
Well, I just think that we kind of covered that it's kind of for the public. the sound system is, you know.
A select few that come to meetings.
Yeah, but
there would be, there could potentially be more. There are at least a couple that we know of.
Yeah, I'm not, I'm just throwing another opinion out there, that's all.
And you should, thank you.
Parks, remember I said last time, it's just a small amount there. We're taking on this triangle down here where the bright future, and that's gonna, if we're coming down the highway, it may have some sidewalk issues, and we have to maintain it. You know, we may not spend a dollar in that, and then that would carry over. We just inherited that kind of, for taking care of it this year. It may need a new irrigation system. Scott went down and they said you have to go over to get somebody from the chamber or something to come turn it on or whatever. They were the only ones who know how to run it, the clock, because it was a unique one. Again, that works, but you know, at some point the lady at the chamber may be out of town or not there. So yeah, that I found interesting. The bonds, that's just that's a payment on the building here. And over on the other side, you'll see we actually take in about 12 grand a year from Edward Jones. So they pay, you know, about 30% or so of our costs. And so that's good. Okay, interfund transfers out. You're going to see more of what we do with that when we get to it. But we transfer $350,000 to our street fund, $5,000 to tourism, and $54,000 to community development. The way to look at this is, A, the highest number dollar, that's obviously the priorities, that's where the money goes. If someone actually asked you, where do we spend our general fund money, which is franchise fees and property taxes, we're spending it by and large on roads, sidewalks, transportation type stuff. The second thing is planning. We're subsidizing planning, $54,000. The planning department. You know, some cities try to make them neutral where the fees cover. It will not work here. It doesn't hardly work in most of the cities, but I guarantee it won't work here because we're new. Too much stuff has to be done, and if we try to charge people to recoup that $54,000, you would take a $250 or $500 fee now that they complain about and make it $2,000. And so it is subsidized, and we'll see that when we get to that fund. So those monies are $409,000 is transferred out to other stuff. Contingency is just 20 grand if something happened. The $35,000 that's reserved for future capital, that is for the building. You know, it was 25. I started that back when I was here the first time. This building, you got a $500,000 building, you got a renter next door, and I think you need about 100 grand in reserves if you need a new $25,000 roof or a $20,000 heating system. And in a small town, you can't raise that 1 year. So I figure if you put 5 or 10 grand a year in, build it up to about 100, and then don't add anymore, just let it sit. And when you need it, you have it. If the parking lot needs repaved. And I'm just kind of trying to be prudent to where there aren't surprises for you. So added 10 grand. There were a couple of years we didn't add any money in it, or you already would have had 40 or 50,000. But they skipped it because they look at it as, well, we can go spend it somewhere. And you know, you can do that. If someone said, I only want 25 grand in there because that 10 grand needs to go somewhere else, it's a judgment call. You know, I think in general my philosophy is our budget is small, but items cost the same. You know, a heating system is a heating system, or a roof's a roof. And if you've got a $10 million budget or a little one, but the problem is it has a bigger impact on a smaller budget. So I'm trying to, on the parking lots, the building, you'll see that throughout, trying to make it to where we are covered, we're set, and then you can kind of last forever and not have something happen. unappropriate Indian fund balance, that carries forward. So of that $450,000 we saw at the top of the first page, 225 of it is actually, we budgeted it. And we did also 2 years ago. And that's the money that helps make sure you got enough to carry forward to November.
Okay.
All budgets you will find in any government has this unappropriate Indian fund balance. And so it's there kind of one time, and it's always there. If our budget increases, you can see that number increase. Unappropriate Indian fund balance can't be spent. In other words, if the mayor goes on a junket and he says, I want that $225,000, even the mayor can't get it. That's a bylaw that must carry forward to the next year. Look at that as a savings account for the next year to help get us through to November. Now, the contingency, you can. There is a way to spend the contingency, but that requires a process. And that's kind of like if you had a flood or something. What if a bridge washed out? You know, something weird happened. You can get into that, but it does require some things. We've never spent in contingency, and that's why I kept it at the 20. But unappropriate is that. So you'll notice, and if anywhere you help me my check on this, if the revenues on that resource was our first page, 1,139,174, if the total requirement line, if those two don't match, yell at me. Because they're supposed to take in what we spend, and every dollar in there should be accounted. And we did. Okay? Any questions? We can come back, you know. And that's the more complicated one. And so, as things pop up, what's that key?
We didn't have unappropriated ending fund balance in 2012.
Oh, they probably did. I don't know why.
13, because...
Or, you know what, this, I think that they say those, because they do automatically carry forward, that you can't spend them, and you notice that they black out the year-to-date and the projection, because I don't know.
No, they should be in there. Well, they'll be in there they should be on the LB forms, because you have to show your prior histories.
I would have to ask the finance manager
that. I'm just curious why those, because if we didn't do that before, I was really asleep.
We've had them.
I thought we had, or I was really asleep.
I think this is how they set up the budget documents.
Yeah. Maybe for some reason they just wouldn't plug in on the worksheet or something. I don't know.
Okay, cemetery fund. This is quick. Mm-hmm. This is an in and out. We inherited the cemetery. They gave us, we budget money there. We estimate $250 in sales. Last year we actually had, this year, $3,500. We don't know if we're going to sell a plot. It's nothing. We don't spend tax money on it. We don't take any out. It is just there. There was a group running the cemetery, and they wouldn't want to run it anymore. So we inherited it, which happens to cities a lot. We tend to get what no one else wants when it's no longer fun. Or, in this case, volunteers were getting older.
Age.
Actually, it was a little bit different than that. That was the arrangement with the non-government that the city of Lapine had all those years back. That was the arrangement with the county, with the Order of Redmond, that this property would be donated to Lapine for the cemetery, and the county would manage it until the city had its own government. And so that's the first thing that Teresa Rosick jumped on when, at our very first meeting, I think, or our second meeting, she came.
You're talking the ownership.
The ownership.
Yeah, this is really the operations.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the city might have owned it since
we've been
here. This money is all the operation. This money was in, they were running it in some group.
Okay, yeah. Remember? Yeah, they had a volunteer group to do it.
And they came to us and said, they gave it to us. They said, we're out of energy. Okay. And
yeah. Vern and...
And who takes care of all that, Scott?
Well, we do the digging. No, actually, don't. I mean, unless we had to. We go down to the Bairds, and there's a guy.
There's a special guy, Paul Cody, does all
that. Yeah, there's a guy that we call, and he opens and closes. It was kind of weird. We had to get licensed, and that was a process. When I got here, the state was kind of fine us, because we weren't licensed, and it was quite interesting. Legal fees and things. I mean, we don't spend any money really on it. And the only reason you have some estimates there is that we do insure the thing. This fund someday could end up costing us you know, $2,000 or $3,000 or $4,000 a month may have to come out of that general fund, you guys, to keep the cemetery going. You know, we're good for a decade or so, and most of you will not be sitting on this council then. But it,
we'll be in the cemetery.
Well, let's hope. But so anyway, it's revenue, pretty much revenue neutral for us. And not, people aren't going in there as much, you know, because people are cremating more, and less people are doing that.
Yeah.
So.
Well, they still, you have a place to put the ashes, and you've got that kind of stuff. But
yes.
Pasture.
Yeah, and then, you know, we had some the other day that wanted to move, they were going to move some relatives around things, and that was interesting. But they're all staying where they're buried right now. They got a new girlfriend or something, and someone was going to move, and I said, well, you're going to have to cover the cost of moving the ex-wife. Things go on. Huh?
How much does a pot run there?
Oh, Ashley would know. No.
A pot run, $75. I bought one for my ex-husband's birthday.
Oh, wow.
So any questions on the cemetery?
No.
Just why does it require any maintenance?
It's a considered kind of one of these pioneer. We don't mow it. I mean, it's not a mowed cemetery. We go out the weed eater a couple times. The crews go out. But it's not a
I've been there. I mean,
yeah,
I know what it looks like.
That's what it
like.
Is.
Okay.
I mean, you would have to decide if you want to become a manicure.
I don't even know where it is.
The end of wood.
High Lakes went out a couple weeks ago and took some trucks and cleaned up the trash and the junk and everything that was back there.
It used to be the Band of Brothers used to, through Paul Cody and a couple of guys, used to, you know, take all the bitter brush out and redo the pathways, and because there's a lot of needles get in there and there's a lot of that going on, and I don't think that's happening now because I don't hear about it in the Band of Brothers. So
I'm just trash dumping a lot of going back in there.
Yeah, I mean, it's a, but we don't have any plan. I mean, it's not, our guys go back and do some. And, okay, the street fund. This is, the good fund. There, you see our beginning fund balance was 600 grand. And the reason that's real high is projects, that, again, we're budgeting for things that are expensive. When you get into streets, and it takes several years, so you might start setting money aside because you're not going to spend it for 2 or 3 years. When you get into roads, I think the key is that it's expensive. When you do curbs and sidewalks or repave a road, and so these are just bigger numbers. Our total income per year, if we didn't transfer general fund, would be 85 grand from the state of Oregon. That's what they give us through your gas tax. And we transfer general fund in this case, 350,000, and that then gives us the revenue. So if we go down, the payroll piece, which we'll come to, so a percentage of my salary, Scott's, an example, Scott's is 10%, I think mostly that's what we do on the streets. So 10% of my wages, 10% of, you know, Scott's wages and so on, because they go out and do street work. They don't do a lot of it because we don't have many streets. But that's how those numbers correlate back to the spreadsheet. Advertising, we're bidding a construction project. Again, partly auto expense. And that's because we have our utility trucks. And theoretically, if you're working on roads, you would transfer some there. Contracted services. Now go back to that little sheet. 35,000 is the number. Engineering, 29.7. Finance, that percentage again was 3,600, and that was 10%. Just like they take 10% of my charm, 10% of the finance. Finance is 36,000, so it's 3,600. And then the Cascade East. Now, Cascade East is the dial-a-ride system and goes with the bus, kind of the bus service. We gave a $2,500, I believe, about 3 years ago. Keg the Community Action Group for 2 years gave $2,500. And then the CYC matches that with state and federal type grants that's many times that. When the city, when I was gone, the city didn't give that money, didn't come through, and I don't remember, those of you who were there, the discussion, if you remember, but I know that Steve and the council at the time said no, they just had, they struggled with it, and I get that actually big time. So KEG picked it up, and I've had a couple people from there say, you know, gosh, the city's not, you know, doing their part. Then this year, KEG decided they didn't want to do it, and they weren't going to fund it. So Central Oregon Intergovernmental Council that runs the bus system went to the county and said, we need someone to make up the Lapine, call it the Lapine area share that they had been, KEG had been paying, and plus the county pays some for down here. And then I had the county commissioners, two of the three, come to me and tell me that they had agreed to pay for it. However, in the spirit of cooperation, they felt that we should pay the $2,500 on our part of it. And that discussion was going to follow. And then I got a letter from the county administrator to the same basic wording that it needed to, the Lapine to participate. And the county was wanting us to. And so I pushed back a little on the amount, and I says, geez, $2,500, you know, a lot of the people getting on these, necessarily, who knows where they live and different things. They may live out of the county, they live down Bay Road. And so I said, how about if we stick it more to like a dollar a resident or something, you know, take population and figure out what it would be. I called Prineville. City of Prineville puts in 10 grand and they have 10,000 residents. Actually, it was like 9,800, but call it a buck a person. Redmond was putting in a certain amount, but Redmond's doing maintenance for them, and so that was a difficult trade-off there. So I talked to the county, and I says, well, I'm going to budget in the road, in the street fund $1,670, which would be about a buck a person. And they said that would be fine. They would be very happy with that. It's showing that we're participating. And then the mayor's had some discussions with, because you're on CYC's board.
Yeah. The only concern I've ever had about this was, this is a dollar ride. It's not the bus system going back and forth to Bend every morning, afternoon, and you know that kind of stuff. And dollar ride, I've asked them at length about, give us some numbers. Well, they want to give us percentages of people who are in Lapine. And they have the phone numbers, the addresses, and the pickups. They know exactly where these people come from. And out in the county, you know, that's easy to identify whether they're in the city or in the county. But I have not got the cooperation to get those numbers based upon them saying, well, we don't keep track of that. Well, but now on the other side, I totally agree that in the spirit of us recognizing that those people come into town to use our doctors and our stores and all that kind of stuff, I have no problem with the 1670, you know. But I keep pressing them. And another thing, I've just real quick, I've told them they're not coming down here often enough to tell us what they're doing. And they've promised that this year they will be down here on a regular basis to tell us all about all the programs, workforce, Cascade East, loan programs. There is a great loan program that banks will not loan money to, that they do, and I'll give you an example. We just approved a loan for the lodge at South Twin. We financed the corner store. Mm-hmm. There's another one. somewhere. So there's been three loans that's right here in our area of significant amounts of money. So we ought to know, I think we ought to know about that, because if there's other people who need it, maybe we could help. But anyway,
so
they have a
that's
broad
why it's
reach.
There.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And is that something that everyone can basically,
yeah,
you know, it's one that the overall problem with the entire transit thing is that they don't have a funding source, and they have to figure that out. Mm-hmm. And where that all heads down the road, don't ask me, but it's going to be interesting. Mm-hmm. Our little contribution kind of keeps us in the game, mm-hmm, but, you know, they're short a lot.
Isn't it $5 a ride now for that?
I don't think so.
No?
Dollar ride.
I think it is if you get on that bus to go to Ben.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's $5.
I
thought it was $6, but,
yeah,
you know. It's somewhere around there, Kathy.
Okay.
Well, I think it's appropriate for the city to help out some. You know, I understand that they're always struggling, but,
yeah,
but
I don't mind helping out some.
Mayor, what if you find it, the percentage of them picking up is way more out in the county than they are in the city limits?
Well, it is. It's in the 6% and 94%.
Okay.
Now, that's on the dial ride, right?
That's on the dial ride.
As far as people parking at Wiki Up and getting on, I don't think we know, do we?
No, and they have no. Then they tell us absolutely no way for them to know whether that person's getting on because he lives down in Cagle or he lives out on Day Road somewhere.
Yeah.
And I can live with that. But they don't come to us for money for that. This is federal 5310 money that is especially for seniors and handicapped and stuff like that need a dollar ride, don't have a car, that kind of thing. And they can 9 to 10-fold the money through a federal program called 5310. So that's where they get their money for dollar ride.
All right. That's the contract. The engineer is the big part there. This road stuff, this engineering, when you know, what you're going to find is that most of our money for the next 3 years really has to go with the ODOT projects. Now, because you're not going to have any then for quite a while.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to go through 5 or 7 years that you may have minimal ODOT stuff. So understand, this is that cycle that we're in, 2015 to 18, is WikiUp, the sidewalks between here and the First Street project and the First Street project. And so when they come along, we have to go basically look out for ourselves. They come along and say, well, you're going to owe us $100,000 for moving fire hydrants. Well, or something. Well, we go and then we get our engineer who looks out for us. It's kind of like hiring your own attorney. You go ahead and say, well, wait a second. You could engineer this differently. If you do this, those fire hydrants don't have to get moved. That kind of stuff. And it's paid off. But you got to hire the engineer because it has saved us well more than we pay him.
And we have one specific engineer that does.
We're actually going to go get an engineer record. We're using one, but we're actually going to go out and hire, call it one. And you pay him by the hour.
Right.
And so one of the things we are spending is more on engineering, but it saves us. And it really works. It's the only way to go. And we were a little late to that game. And ODOT likes it, because then they have someone they can talk to that knows the talk. Grading, that's Cagle. That's what about. It costs us, again, depending. We've been grading Cagle twice a year. However, in reality, in the last 18 months, we graded it about 2 other times. And so I've kind of figured that the reality is, for budget purposes, you're going to grade that thing 3 times to 4 times a year. Twice a year just doesn't keep them happy. The potholes start coming up through that gravel because the freezing and thawing. And so we end up, but it does cost. And if you look at the 12,000 out of the 85, you know, it's a pretty good deal. But then insurance, legal, never know if you're going to spend any, but roads can be, you get into a lot of legals, you get into contracts, the meetings and travel. If our public works guys or any of us have to go to a meeting specific to it, we haven't done much of that, but memberships, you belong to some of the street associations, their share of the copiers. Repairs and maintenance, that's where if we're buying gravel or some culverts wash out, that's, you never know what you're going to spend. You're running a, you know, miles of road out there, and that's one of those things you just need to budget, and fortunately we just haven't had big crises.
Okay, can I bring up an item here?
Yeah.
I mean, you haven't even considered budgeting any oil roads. It's not oil, it's something else.
That's coming.
That's coming? Okay, just checking.
Materials and services, things like that are capital. They're one-time big items. This is the stuff like snow plowing and you know, those things aren't in this kind of a budget.
Okay.
There was snow plowing. You'll notice this year, so far to date, $861.
Somebody did snow plow this year?
They did.
Somebody's going hungry.
Utilities, phone, and then miscellaneous. And that, and I'll have to, in order to get the balance, you that's where you have to throw always the last little bit to get that. Capital outlay. Sidewalk improvements, that's not tied to any specific sidewalks, it's just capital if we were to go repair some or add some. Equipment purchases, we don't have anything in mind. It'd be, again, if you have to go buy some sort of equipment. When you have a public works department, it just takes money. We don't really budget very much for equipment because we don't have much equipment.
Is that traffic signal, would that fit in here?
No, it could.
Okay.
You could take it out of that.
Okay.
In fact, I thought about that.
And the sidewalks last year were so high because of all the sidewalks by Mark and the senior center?
Yes.
Okay.
So, capital contingency, 25 grand, wouldn't spend it. Now,
I have a question. What's the 300,000?
Oh, that, you have to, probably, hopefully there's some on the other.
Is that like a reserve fund?
Oh, excuse me. I was thinking that was a toll. No, that is the basically the ODOT projects that we're going to be spending next year out of First Street, which will be the sidewalks, lights, irrigation systems, the landscaping, it's all over that. It goes down. It's there's 18, I think, street lamps. ODOT doesn't pay for, that's why when they do projects, there's things they pay for and things they won't. They do not pay for street lights. They will put them only at the actual signal, like up on the pole that lights the intersection. But going down the street, ODOT does not light highways.
So is that in addition to the First Street signal stuff that's listed below under the reserves?
Yeah, see, when you look under reserves, we'll come, it used to say First Street signal of that 300, and that's where it could go back to where it was, we had saved 250,000 last year. We were going to spend it last year, see? So then it carried forward, and now it's being spent.
Yeah.
So it went from the reserve fund up. These are, you know, so that 300 grand basically is 250,000. And when you're dealing in these kind of projects, this hasn't been bid yet, that part of it. So, you know, is it 300? Is it 360? You know, I don't know. So.
Is it true that you're there are really two parts to that project and you have to fund it through two separate items in the budget?
They're funding the actual signal and the pavement.
You know, what's there between the 300,000 and the 450,000? I guess that's my question.
Well, we're going to come down to the 450. They're different projects. The 300 is First Street will be done in this budget. Nothing down in the future. See, future money can't be spent in the budget year you're working on. That's rolling forward. And that's where we're going to get into what he asked about oil and cable. But I'm trying to go down. I can jump down if you want. The 300 grand is First Street by and large, although there is some money in case you have something else you have to go do somewhere.
So when they do this project going through the city, the sidewalks?
That's the 350 down below is for the next phase. But remember, that's why it can't be spent in this budget. That project won't be done. That project, again, there is no way. If you can hire someone, if you can find someone that can figure that out. I don't know if that, between here and 6th Street to 1st, is that going to be 400 or 500? Thousand for our share. It's about a $2 million project, and ODOT has $1 million set aside from us that they granted. So there's a shortage. Now, the project may get shrunk a little. We may get other grant funding. That's probably a year and a half out before we even know on the grant funding. So we don't know if we're going to get grants.
But you're trying to build up enough money,
yes.
So that you
and if say I figure we're going to spend 500 grand out there, and it's 300, that 200 grand then is ready for another project. And when these ODOT projects are done, we may have 200 or 300 grand. Yeah, again, I'm hoping that I hope all 450 is left over because we're going to get grants.
Okay, but
the Parks District budgeted grants that they didn't get. And then when they went ahead and spent the money on the things, guess what? That's really what happened. They were budgeting grants that they hadn't yet received.
When you get grants, aren't you obligated to spend a certain amount of your own money too, though?
Depending on the grant, yes.
Yeah.
We'll have to spend some of it.
Who does all the grants? You?
Yeah.
Kind of.
The grant writing?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I fill out forms and do things. You know,
it's not that big of a deal.
People.
I always heard my wife complaining about
what's that?
Finding grants for schools. She says
there's lots of them. It just kind of, it's really building the relationships at ODOT, the mayor going to the COAC meetings. It's really, and then that's how it all, okay. You know, and they're helping us because they like the vision we're trying to do, and they're doing the projects on the highway. So I think it's our turn, like I said. Yep. We will have several years that there won't be any of that. So this is the cycle we're in. And then you can shift easier to the Kegels and some of these other places. So of that 300, I think 250, but I actually have better news than that because I think the 250 for sure will go into the First Street. However, I think ODOT's 90% chance of giving us 150 of that of 250. But I can't put it in here as income because they haven't said 100%. They've told me 90 plus. We'll know in a week or two or three. So that 150 will carry forward if that's the case.
Okay.
So now if you get down to the reserves, that is building up for this big project that's going to do the rest of the town. But also in there, I figured about $150,000 to go to Cagle Road. Now, if we have, and we should get some grant money, the goal would be, and I haven't yet done, one of the things I want to do is hire an engineer to actually go analyze Cagle Road and we'll know. But to take Kegel Road and gravel it, base it and gravel it and widen it to a normal width. And that is going to be, is it 175 or 225? I don't know. But it's a significant amount to do that whole road. But it's got to be widened. Basically, you start over almost. You widen it, you'll put culverts in it. See, right now there's no culverts. Water just pools wherever it pools. But when you raise a road, you have to then put culverts. And then every driveway, you have to kind of deeper in because everyone's driveways come out at this level. When you add this much to the road depth, you then have to taper it down to people. You can't just give them a wall. So, and with that, you'll do signage and everything. And you'll cut trees back and you'll make a nice road that gives you your base. Then the second phase down the road would possibly be, and that's if you're done with these ODOT projects, you could do paving. if that's what the council and people wanted to do. But it yields you the basis a little bit, like I said, is Huntington Road, the section they're going to pave this next year or this year? Is that this year or next year? But they're going to pave that unpaved Huntington.
Oh, next year. Next year.
Yeah. What they did is you do it in phases. It's pretty common. You first have no road, and you kind of build it up, get it width, get it based. Then you can come in. You don't have to redig up the base, and you don't have to do all that. The culverts are in. You freshen it up. You go down a few inches. You can then pave it. And so my theory is that take Kegel in steps, and then maybe, you know, the city would be about 10 years. One of the things I was thinking, it'd be about 10 years old. So over 10 years, you kind of saved, you know, 20 grand a year, 25 grand to set aside for Kegel, and you'll be able to do it. And in the next 5 to 10 years, maybe you would have enough, and maybe if we get some grants, you could pave it. So sometime in the next, you know, time frame, you could pave Kegel Road, and that would reduce people's travel the most on a gravel road, because it dissects it. If you take schedule, that helps everyone on schedule. But the guys on the other ones drive the same amount on gravel. But if you go down Kegel, you have roads right and left, north and south. Everybody shortens their distance. Mm-hmm. And so the people that come off of Burgess, the furthest they have to go down on gravel is halfway. We pave Kegel, the furthest you have to go down is halfway. Mm-hmm. If you go to the left or the north, you only go, see? And so that's kind of the theory. Now, I've had people say, oh no, schedule has the most traffic, it must be done. Well, that depends on where you live.
It'll reduce that traffic once you get Kegel.
If you live on Pine, that doesn't help you. But if you pave Kegel, it helps you on Pine. So there'll be a whole lot of discussions on that, but I'm trying to set aside some money for it. And those are decisions that will be made in a year or two out. But I think this next year, what I'd like to do is engineer it, so we need to get a rough estimate of what it will cost. Mm-hmm. Then can work with the council as kind of a goal. But I would say 2016, this next budget year, we would move up a couple hundred grand. And that year, we could go in and do that job.
Would we ever look at the, does block grants fit into this picture? There's road grants. I know a number of years ago that Klamath Falls got $3 million to do roads to prevent the silica dust off a dirt road or gravel road.
I don't know about a $3 million grant for that, but...
Well, that's quite some time ago. So.
Yeah, yes. The block grants... We're going to need to go for a major piping project where? That's going to haul
sewer
and water to Kegel. And then you have to, again, you can only go to the apple so many times, and that's where the big money is. And the other thing is we don't want to do, and actually that's the thing that could delay, that we don't want to start doing any road work till the sewer and water line's in. So it could be we have to delay that another year, and that fund can then build up. And it could be, you know, you'll have enough, we can go ahead and pave Kegel. When you do the sewer and water line, just say, let's just go ahead. In 4 years, let's just pave the darn thing. Mm-hmm. It's a $400,000 project, let's do it. So, that's a good question. And we may get some grants. Most of the grants I've looked at for roads, they have to go to industrial parks to take care of congestion. That's a local street, and local streets that aren't going anywhere, they basically all dead end. They just, the priority just doesn't get you anywhere when you try to do it. Kegel people should be pretty happy, actually, in this budget.
Well, they will be.
They're not.
There's at least a plan. That's the big thing.
So really, if you want to look at this, we're going to spend $250 to $300 on the First Street project this year in this budget, and we got $450 that's going to do Kegel, some work at Kegel, start saving for a major lot for Kegel, and also the highway. Is that?
That's a bunch, huh?
It really is. Everyone should be pretty proud. We'll put Army into roads.
That was part of the issue of even that last night's meeting. You know, so that's...
Yeah, I think that's where people... Answer it with it's us. Law enforcement and roads. Well, law enforcement's the county. So really, if you think about one of our major issues is roads.
Transportation.
Yeah. Do you want to take a break, maybe? It's 10 till.
Yeah. Yeah, we can take a little break until 7 o'clock. Do that.
Sorry it's boring, and sorry that it takes a while.